Welcome to the PCV podcast. Thanks for hopping on Skype to talk to me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you could be here. Many people offline have suggested that I give you a call as soon as possible.
Well, I mean, I hope I don't disappoint.
I don't think you will. What would you say is the gist of your life story thus far?
What is it?
You told me, yeah, which I had to look up. So for those of you who don't know what that word means, it is an adjective which means exceedingly idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical, and romantic, visionary, extravagant, starry-eyed.
Yeah, I think that describes my life so far. Okay. I don't know if it describes me as much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a very like Don Quixotic sort of way of, you know, like his world in his eyes was very different from, you know, what the world actually was. And okay. In some ways, even though I said that, I felt more, in some ways I feel like I'm, what was his partner's name? Do you remember? I feel like I see myself often outside myself. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That makes sense. I ended up in a lot of like kind of strange situations, I think, over the course of my life. I feel like people, these things come up for some strange reason, but yeah, you know, I've spent time at a commune, and I've worked at a carnival, and
I remember that story.
Yeah. Okay. Worked at the Vatic Lit, and was a biology major, and I don't know, things that made, you know, a bit all over the place, you know? I mean, as far as, like, being, like, I don't know, starry-eyed and romantic and things like that. Yeah, I guess there is a dose of that, but you need to be optimistic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's also tempered with the realism, I think. You know.
Sure, Sancho Panza, his squire.
Yeah, poor Sancho, man. Sometimes I felt like I was the Sancho to my own Don Quixote. You know what I mean? I'm just like, wow, how did I end up in this situation? It's like, oh wait. I remember how.
Give us an example. When is a moment in your life when you've had that?
I guess like the one where I decided hey, you know what I should do? I should drop out of school and go with this girl to Kentucky. Join a commune.
What was the name of the commune?
We didn't have a name. It was this strange, like, social experiment. They were hippie, but they were also like prepper.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Like doomsday preppers. I've seen that.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. Kind of like that, except they're. But you know, it was more like I don't know if the name was out there yet. You know, or if it was like colloquial. You know.
Yeah, you were prepping before it was popular.
Yeah. Right. All right. But on that note, like I said, I did learn how to make candles. So if shit does hit the fan, and you need a candle maker on your team, I'm your man, you know?
All right.
I'm ready for the collapse of our economy in that sense, you know?
Okay.
I'm ready to contribute to the post-apocalyptic economy.
Yeah.
So we ended up there, and that was an interesting time, and I saw some things, and met some people that, you know, made me realize that, you know, my place probably wasn't living on a hippie commune somewhere in Kentucky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a healthy dose of paranoia, I guess you could say, you know. So if anybody wants to hear any more of these things or hear me enumerate on any of my stories, you know, come find me, you know.
It's like a fear and loathing in Morocco sort of
story. Yeah, exactly. If you've heard it, so if anybody wants to hear it, you know, come find me one of these days, you know what I mean? Or give me a call or something.
Moving on to the next question. What is one piece of media that you've most often gifted to other people?
Since I've come to Morocco, I've been recommending movies with that have had Queen in the soundtrack. Like Queen has taken an active role you know, the band Queen, like, yeah. They take active role in, like, the soundtrack of those movies. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, you also know about this, but my love for the movie Highlander, for mm-hmm. instance, we have a good mutual friend in Mike Triozzi, who was also, wasn't he your first?
He was. Your
first podcast, right?
Yep. Very first person.
Let's say that, you know, it took me a while to sort of convince Mike to, like, you know, come around to some of my, like, movie choices for, you know.
Okay.
But he's been a strong fan of my selections, you know. So, mm-hmm. like, that's what I've been doing. I've been something I've been giving out to Peace Corps Morocco, or, like, my colleagues is recommending movies. Highlander, if anybody wants to see a good movie, watch Highlander. Great soundtrack. And recently I've been recommending Flash Gordon.
Ah.
Yeah. He's the savior of the universe. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
He is.
Yeah. Savior every one of us, you know. So if you guys want to see an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Recommend Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, so the first time I saw Flash Gordon, okay, so I was at my friend Ruben's house, and it was like one of those, like, kind of summer nights. There was nothing really happening, so, you know, somebody came over, like, it was me and him, and another one of our friends came by. It sort of ended up becoming a party, because, like, I guess nobody had anything to do that night, and everybody just came to Ruben's house.
Yeah.
And nobody didn't call anybody, they just came. By the end of the night now, it's like 3:34 in the morning, everybody's pretty much gone except for me and Ruben, and he just turns on his TV. We found this strange sort of, I guess, like, vortex, like this, like, radio signal from somewhere, right? It was this channel, and they were playing Flash Gordon. Well, you know what? I'll get to that point. All right. So they were playing Flash Gordon. All right. Okay. No, you've never seen Flash Gordon. All uh-huh. right. We had really, like, yeah, like, I've heard about it in, like, the Zeitgeist or whatever, but we've never seen Flash Gordon. So if anybody ever watches this movie, it is kind of insane. And we ended up catching it in probably one of the most insane moments in the movie, which was the attack of the Hawkmen, where we have this, like, this group of, that's what they are, Hawkmen, like, swooping in on Ming the Merciless's floating palace and mm-hmm. blasting lasers at this palace. And they're being led by this Shakespearean-trained actor. And he was, like, he was, I think he was either, he was in Henry the Fourth with Kenneth Branagh, but he was a Shakespearean-trained actor, and he has the what is it, what do you call that, the cadence, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you see the man, and you see the look in his eyes, you know what I mean, as he's contemplating the moment mm-hmm. that all that Shakespearean training has come down to him on a blue screen wearing, like, or a green screen wearing these, like, fake plastic or whatever latex wings shouting dive to yeah. your mother met. Right?
Okay.
And see it. Like, I saw it. I saw it in the man's eyes. And the next morning we wake up and I'm just like, huh, so we watched that movie. And he's like, yeah, that's really weird. And for the life of us, we could not find that channel. It disappeared. It disappeared off his cable box. To this day, I remember the number, 488. But we got on the TV, like, literally that morning, and it only went up to 467.
All right, you hear that, cable box fans? If you get it, go to channel 488. What are three words your fellow PCVs would use to describe you?
I still don't really have an answer for that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like, I admit, that was a cop-out statement that I sent you, just because I really had no answer for that. So I was just like, yeah, uh-huh. It's not really up to me.
Who do you look up to in Peace Corps, and why?
There's a few people, I think. I'm friends with all of them, which is kind of nice. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first name that pops up into my head is Jomar, because, well, he was, like, he was, you know, we've been together since CBT, you know, I consider him a buddy. I consider everybody from my CBT a buddy. Me and Joe Moore, we talk fairly frequently, and he's as wise as they say, that's for sure. And he just has a really he has a way of thinking and an approach that oftentimes I'd say it's very sort of grounded and realistic and analytical, but he has a way of sort of messaging it and having the message fit in a way that the person who hears it understands really well. Like, I've never had a conversation where I had to clarify, where I've asked for clarification or felt a need, you know, for clarification as far as, like, when I talk to Jomar, because I feel like he just really knows the right thing to say in terms of what I need to hear sometimes. So that's one person. Mike, just because me and Mike, we could talk for hours about absolutely nothing and just be so thoroughly entertained with each other, you know what I mean, in terms of our conversation. Last time I hung out with Mike, we literally had a we started off talking about Italian operas. Then we read each other poetry. But it's great. We read each other our own poetry, like stuff that we wrote.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, we went into we went and talked about Flash Gordon. And then at some point, I'm sure we talked about the mafia. You know what I mean? So it's great. I mean, because if you sort of hear us talk, like, we don't have the same cadence. Our vernacular is different. Our communication styles are kind of different somehow. It's like we're two sides of a very different coin.
They're two different coins. You're both different sides.
Yeah. Or are we, man? I don't know, man. Like Harvey Dent stuff going on between us. You know, it's just, but it works. So I appreciate that. And he's actually sort of good at speaking to a part of me that that I don't think a lot of people in Peace Corps get to see. Then there's Julia, who's also my close buddy of mine. That's another one. We could just talk about absolutely nothing for hours on end, you know? And I think we have a way of kind of bringing out a certain edge from each other, which I appreciate, you know? It can get kind of like the banter between us can get, you know, it's really fun. I genuinely like talking to her. And I think she's a fabulous human being and immensely talented. Who else? Oh, Kristen, who I just spent this camp in El Jadida with, who I think is amazing at just what she does. And as far as that camp goes, I don't think I would have been able to do. I would have been lost without Kristen. You know, She basically complements all my weaknesses, she supports me in terms of addressing all my weaknesses. Just how organized and smart, and in terms of coming up with sort of solutions to sort of these like logistical problems that, you know, we had at camp. It was just something that was a sight to behold. And she's actually somebody that I think I became friends with sort of later, where I'm like, oh wow, she's like, yeah, like she's my buddy, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just keep the list going, but I'm just going to. No, I'm going to. People are valuable to me.
Do it.
I don't really care.
Call them all out.
There's Ariana, who she like our conversations, like, I think do a very good job of kind of calming me down sometimes.
Okay.
I don't think she realizes that though, so. Because I never really sort of outright say it, but she has a very calming effect that I appreciate, so that I enjoy, you know, talking to her. And like, as far as like, she's given me some great advice as far as like career stuff goes, and thinking about the future and sort of how to deal with certain challenges, you know, whether they're personal or even just in terms of how to kind of allow my ambitions to come to fruition, you know, in terms of academics and things like that. And I appreciate it. And she's a lot of fun to hang around with. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but she's like an ill sci-fi nerd, and we hang out at this cafe sometimes near her site in Taza. The name of the cafe is Cosmos. Yeah, so she's great. Sam McFall, just because, like, we'll have conversations, and the one thing that always comes to me is just like, but she thinks she's not a very patient person. And I'm just amazed at how patient she is. And like, yet she'll constantly tell me that she doesn't have patience for things. And I'm just like, okay, you know, you say that, but I'm just amazed at how patient, and how level-headed she can be. Is that, I think that's about, if I'm not saying any of y'all names, okay, do not be offended.
Right. We just have limits on the podcast. Senju can't go on for 2 hours about all the wonderful people that he looks up to in
exactly.
Peace Corps. All
right. But
what do people never ask you that you wish they did?
Yeah, no, I'm good. You don't need to ask me anything.
Are you sure? Because you said I should ask you about the mythos that runs parallel with the realities of professional wrestling. So
oh, okay.
I gotta ask that. I gotta ask you that question.
I forgot about the mythos that runs parallel. We need a podcast for that alone. Okay. There's two elements. There's the sort of, I think, two sort of, I would say, kind of major elements that you can kind of push the rest of everything else into, right? Or like two categories, maybe, might be better.
Okay.
There's the actual physical display that you see, right? So the physicality and the athleticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the notion that, and this might be, now we're getting a little metaphysical, but the idea or the concept that people would push themselves to that much physical harm in order to elicit a reaction from the audience watching. That was something that was always, as somebody watching this sort of, this movement of bodies on this stage, right? That was always something amazing to me, right? Hmm. So the fact that this guy's willing to jump off this cage onto a table that was like maybe 20 feet below him or something, which happened.
Sure.
You know, that happened. I saw that. Yeah, I had to add that caveat because I feel like people hear that, they're like, that's crazy. Why would they do that, right? Like, why would anybody do that?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it was done, and it was done for my entertainment, which is really strange. But like, I always think of like was it Aristotle or was it Euripides? The one that wrote the sort of discourse on what became the idea of like the Greek theater, right? Where there's like a chorus, which is essentially the audience sort of watching the sort of action on stage.
Okay.
And this is very like basic now. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but the idea of being, idea of catharsis being elicited in that audience.
Mm.
By watching the characters when they see in front of them on stage, and becoming essentially a part of the display, or becoming in a sense a part of the theater or the drama that's happening in front of them. Because yeah, like if you the modern audience knows that it's fake in terms of storyline, but when they see their favorite wrestler like kicking out, they cheer, you know.
Yeah.
When The Undertaker lost his whatever 31-year streak or something, people were in shock.
Yeah.
You know? Meanwhile, this is a man that's pretending to be an undead, I don't know, like an undead, what, dark wizard or something.
Sure.
From Death Valley, you know?
Like, yeah.
That speaks to something powerful, you know, that all these sort of intelligent people, these people that are thinking and feeling, can suspend their disbelief in that kind of way, you know?
Mm.
And that's just simply a matter of just watching it on stage, the then and now. And that's not even talking about the mythology of it, right? Because there is a mythology. It's not like these storylines sort of run in like in a vacuum, right? They sort of build on each other. And those gladiators from the past, or, you know, those characters from the past, they exist within the mythos. And then you have this huge pantheon of just these individuals, right? And just by their sheer existence alone, it colors what's happening in this moment, not only what was accomplished in the past. Yeah, and then there's just the sheer kind of the fun of it. It's just ridiculous.
One of my favorite wrestlers growing up was the character who was a male stripper.
Like, you know what I mean? Talk about the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. His theme is still my alarm every morning. I say that with pride. All right, if you guys want to hear what the ultimate way to wake up in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go on YouTube, type in HBK entrance theme. All right,
okay.
Do that for me. All right, if you guys want to hear how Senju wakes up in the morning.
Great. Well, last question. Who else should I interview for this podcast? And what would you like me to ask him?
Will Burris.
Ah.
Yeah. I feel like Will would be a very interesting interview. It's funny because, like, Will's one of those guys that, like, we had very sort of brief interactions. We were actually roommates in Aurora.
Really?
Yeah. He can tell you some... Oh, man. God bless that kid. Because, like, I woke up... That first week, I thought I was fine, but apparently, like, I woke up in the middle of the night, like, yelling at phantoms and stuff. So,
like, okay.
And he put up with all of it. Yeah, seriously. Like, and he would, like, you know what I mean? But he's super interesting. I'd like for you to ask him, or I'd like for you to talk to him, or I'd like to hear from him, actually.
All right. What's a question you want me to ask him about?
He's just an interesting character. He's just an interesting person. I can't really think of anything specifically that I'd want to ask at this specific moment.
Maybe we should ask maybe him what you were saying in your sleep that first night in Harvard.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Ask him that.
All right. I can do that.
All right.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Senju. It means a lot to me, and I'm excited for everybody else to get to know you a little better through it.
If you guys want to hear... You want to hear any more details, just feel free to give me a call. So just hit me up if you guys want to hear me wax poetic or go into any specific details of some of my more crazy stories, which I know are floating around out there. So
I've certainly heard a couple, but yeah.
Yep. All right.
All right. Well, thanks again, Senju. It was great.
All right.
Signing off.